All right, everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And this week we have a breaking episode. Yeah, that's right. You've probably already seen the news by the time that we have put this out, but the entire crypto market is soaring. Bitcoin has just retested its all-time high. Altcoins are going ballistic. ETF inflows are just breaking records. The volume is crazy. There is so much news to talk about as well that's acting as a catalyst to all of it. So we could not be more excited to be able to bring this to everyone, get everyone up to date on what's happening, and even talk about the future that is yet to come. Because I think that's really where our mind is at now, is that we are still setting the stage for what could be to come in the last 2 months of this year and even over the course of 2025. And we really do believe that there is a bright future and that the kind of trajectory is just getting started. So, TiVo, if you can't tell, I'm hyped up. I know we got a guest of honor who's equally as hyped up. So we're all excited over here.
Yeah, the group chat has been going crazy. I know me and you are texting each other individually about some stuff we're working on, and then the work group chat starts getting excited. And when the bulls are on parade like this, you know, we need to bring in the big guns. And our special guest of honor, you know him well, and we've all heard of the term dad strength, but yeah. I think our next guest has some dad insight to the markets that he wants to share with us. So obviously none other than Bryce joining us today. Bryce taking a break from the charts, taking a break from the deep dives that he's always doing to join us, because it's too exciting not to jump on the rundown this week. So welcome, Bryce. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. And taking a little break as well from the diaper changing. things have been good, man. Really excited to dive in with you. Been keeping up with the show while you guys have been doing it. It's been incredible to kind of watch all the analysis and everything that you guys put out here. So kudos to you guys for just taking this show kind of by the reins and continuing to crush it every day. It's been awesome to watch. So one of my main sources of news. So happy to join the show.
Well, that's what we love to hear. And that's the goal of something like this, too, is that, you know, everyone's going about their normal life. You know, whether they are a parent that has kids to deal with, or they have a full-time job, or maybe you're someone that's younger that's in school full-time. You know, it just takes a lot of time and effort to be able to sift through all the noise of what matters, what doesn't matter, then digesting all the information and understanding what it means, then keeping up with all the charts and all the on-chain data. And there's so much that goes into all this, yeah. And we can't expect the average investor to be paying attention to this 24 hours a day, every single day of every single week of every single month. I mean, the space is exploding in a good way, and it's hard to keep track of it all. And things really have started to escalate. And what we saw here, you know, I don't want to beat around the bush at all. I mean, what we saw this week was just phenomenal price action coming out from Bitcoin. Bitcoin retapped that previous all-time high of right around $73,500, roughly around that area. It's going to vary a little bit depending on which exchange you're looking at. But Bitcoin tapped that all-time high yesterday. And, you know, we're still holding on up there, right around 72K at the time of making this. But we didn't see any kind of massive rejection. We didn't see any kind of massive sell-off. We knew that there was going to be a lot of resistance in the low 70s. And Bitcoin's holding on really, really well up here. So we want to show the charts. In fact, we want to kick off this episode. Usually we like to kick off the episode by looking at all the fundamentals and the metrics and the catalysts that act as you know, kind of a method to raise prices. But this week we want to flip things on its head because it's such a monumental point in cryptocurrency. So if we go ahead over here, and I'm going to throw up the screen share. And quick reminder for everyone that if you are listening in on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or even Audible, and you want to see all the charts and images, and we have some really cool videos that we want to share with everyone today coming from VanEck and a few other players, if you want to follow along with everything that we're putting on the screen, go over to our YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 podcast on YouTube, and that's where you're going to get all the video that is correlated to everything that we're talking about. So on the screen now, you should be able to see the Bitcoin chart. And this is a daily time frame. And what we really saw here was just Bitcoin exploding up to this previous high. In fact, I'm going to move us over to this just because I know I have a drawing here. But this is what that looked like. Again, we tapped it to a T on that all-time high, and we came all the way up here. And in the past, you know, couple of days, really going off since last week at this time, Bitcoin has been able to appreciate over 12%. Now, we did one of these crypto market rundowns about a month ago, and we talked about, hey, here's the average return rate for October and how bullish it is and how it's one of the best performing months on Bitcoin. And if we go back all the way to the start of October right over here, we can see that we started October off at around 63K, and we are kind of theorizing that, hey, in order for us to maintain our average return rate in October, we would have to be retesting the highs by the end of this thing. And sure enough, that's exactly where we're at right now. We're retesting the highs, and I don't think that we have to stop there. Now, like today, right? We're a little bit red on the day. We're going to have our big green days like we've seen over the past couple days from Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, where we have appreciated, I mean, what was this? About 10 to 11% over those 4 day, over that 4 day period. And then we're going to have red days like we've seen. The big takeaway that I want everyone to have here is that despite having these red days and these green days, you'll notice that the trend has begun to shift. And we're seeing Bitcoin push higher. We're seeing the chart go up and to the right. And with this, we're getting a lot of cool metrics as well. And so I want to share just a few things before we dive into some of these metrics and just kind of go over a couple of other things, because we're starting to see Ethereum take off today. You know, Bitcoin's in the red a little bit, but Ethereum's in the green. In fact, Ethereum has been in the green for almost a week now, and this thing has been seeing some nice gains. It's up about 13%. Now, it still has a while to go to catch up to Bitcoin, right? Ethereum has been lagging behind. We can see that from the Bitcoin dominance chart hitting these new cycle highs, these new multi-year highs of over 60%. We can see it over here from the ETH BTC chart, which has been trending downwards. Bitcoin has been one of the strongest performers in the cycle so far, but that's not anything out of the ordinary. You know, in fact, we saw this in 2017. We saw this in 2021. Now we're seeing this again, kind of following that same four-year market cycle, is that we have been seeing this for the bulk of the last year or two. But that doesn't mean that altcoins aren't performing. You know, we've seen a handful of alts such as Solana been trending upwards. I know another one that we've been looking at over here was Radium, which had just taken off in terms of to the upside. You know, we talked about Sui and Matra and Super and a couple of these other charts that have been doing really good. And so there is an opportunity in altcoins still. In fact, I think the traditional altcoin season hasn't even really started yet. I think that there's still a lot of opportunity there, but it is interesting just to see how everything's reacting as Bitcoin is pushing into these highs. And it looks like we want to see new all-time highs before the year is over. In fact, you know, we could see new all-time highs with this kind of price action by the same time next week. So, you know, stay up to date on all of this. The charts really are exciting. We don't want to spend too much time on this because there's so much news to be talking about over here. But one of the last things that I just want to say is that from a technical standpoint, we saw that Bitcoin made a golden cross. And again, I'm just going to clear off this chart a little bit. But what this means is that Bitcoin had the 50-day moving average here cross upwards over the 200-day moving average. So this red or pink line crosses upwards over the 200-day moving average. And the last time that we saw a golden cross where the 50 crossed upwards over the 200-day moving average was all the way back during a very, very similar time period where from the summer, not even from summer, from March going into October, Bitcoin moved sideways at this exact same time frame last year. So again, 1 year ago, we saw Bitcoin move sideways from March to October. It traded below the 200-day moving average, and then we had a golden cross that led Bitcoin's rally from 25K up to a new all-time high of nearly 74K. Now we're seeing a very similar kind of behavior over here, where from March to October, we saw Bitcoin trade sideways. We saw some choppiness below the 200-day moving average. And now we're having that golden cross again as we're rivaling the highs. And I can't help but see some of the similarities between these two things. So guys, I want to open it up. I don't know if you guys are seeing the same kind of thing that I am, but if it's not clear already, I'm pretty optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, history doesn't always repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. And I certainly don't want to take the main floor here. Let's toss it to our guest. Bryce, what are you seeing? Give the people your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm coming here for your guys' analysis just as much as vice versa. I think you guys always put out great stuff. And, you know, I actually do agree here with Brendan. One of the themes that I kind of pay attention to is, you know, Bitcoin dominance. And it seems like every time we kind of have a new halving cycle where Bitcoin breaks its former all-time high, it does so when Bitcoin dominance is pretty much rising as it is now. And then once it kind of breaks that all-time high and the flurry goes back in with the market and everybody's, you know, getting excited and everybody's getting rich and, you know, every day you're waking up an altcoin, there's a new altcoin up another 100%, 200%. We're not there yet, but once Bitcoin breaks out above that all-time high, then I think Bitcoin dominance actually starts to taper off. We saw this in the last cycle, like Brendan mentioned, where ETH actually took off, you know, the ETH-BTC pair, meaning Ethereum in terms of Bitcoin, really took off after Bitcoin broke its all-time high, right there around like January of 2021 or something, right? And so when it broke out above 20K and kind of went on that really, really big tear, you know, so what we're seeing now is very similar price action. Long story short, you know, Ethereum being 60% below its current all-time high in terms of the dollar, right? You know, its all-time high was let me pull up the exact numbers. I think right around $4,600. But yeah, all-time high, right around $4,800. You know, we're still 60% below all-time highs where we're at currently. Today around, you know, $2,600, I guess 45% now. We rallied quite a bit off the lows, 45% from the highs. But that still shows you that there's, you know, potentially a huge catch-up trade there. You know, and Ethereum, I think, could have a period of outperformance. It certainly is the most contrarian trade to go long Ethereum right now. Everybody's buying meme coins. Everybody's buying Solana. Everybody's talking crap on Ethereum inflows to the ETFs. I mean, there's really not a lot of good things going on. And it typically is in those moments when, you know, everybody's crapping on something that, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And there's a trade set up because there's a really big asymmetry in the market. So, you know, if there's a big move, big outsized move on Ethereum here in the next, you know, call it 3-4 months, I might be using that as an opportunity to sell, you know, take some of that risk off the table. I know I've got some exposure. That it's just been, you know, it's been down, down, down. I'm like, well, I don't want to sell here. I want to wait till it has one of those big moves. So I might take some profits if there's a big outsized move. But yeah, taking a look at, you know, that kind of as a macro trade setup, I think Bitcoin showing a lot of, you know, just a lot of strength as it attacks its all-time high. It's a good sign. Yeah. You know, I've still got sizable exposure to Bitcoin here. I've upped my exposure to meme coins. I think that's probably important to discuss.
They've been really hot.
Yeah, they've been hot. They've been hot. We had some really good kills, and so I was really excited about kind of what's going on in the meme coin world. And I'd kind of, you know, asked me a year ago, pretty bearish on meme coins, thinking they're just a flash in the pan, something that probably is just a fad and going to die out like NFTs or whatever. But meme coins have remained resilient, though, you know, for now going on, you know, several years. I mean, Dogecoin was the original one, but there's obviously been many more, you know, communities that have popped up, and they're like NFTs in a sense, except they're not just, you know, confined to a community of holders of 10,000 people, right? Like NFTs only had 10,000 kind of, you know, in the collection, and that was part of the scarcity and the allure of it. But with, you know, meme coins, they're all, you know, all the same. You know, they're fungible. One, you know, SPX 6900 token equals one other SPX 6900 token. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, it allows the inclusivity for massive, massive amounts of people and not the exclusivity of NFT. So that's one aspect that I think why, you know, meme coins are going to, you know, have a little bit more staying power. And just the idea of, like, you know, rallying around, you know, a shared idea. Whether it's, you know, we like this, you know, funny picture and we think this is cute and we want to be with like-minded people that also have this similar sense of humor and network in that kind of group. And there's a real power in that sort of network effect, right? And if we remember what crypto is and what Bitcoin originally was, Bitcoin was the original meme coin. You know, if it goes back to like the shared idea of, you know, anarcho-capitalism and, you know, removing power from the government and, you know, centralized institutions and fighting the censorship regime. It was all these ideas, but at the end of the day, it was just a blockchain, right? It was just a blockchain and a like-minded group of individuals all discussing the same ideas on forums, in chat rooms, and building fun applications that happen to use Bitcoin, right? And so I think we're going to see the same evolution for, and many people laughed at Bitcoin, right? I mean, if you look back in those early discussions of what Bitcoin was back in 2008, 2009, 2010, I wasn't around back then, but many discussion boards are very famously, you know, made public and all that kind of stuff and trended around Twitter. People didn't show up to these, you know, events. Andreas Antonopoulos speaking in like, you know, 2013 would draw a crowd of like, you know, one or two people in a, you know, Las Vegas hotel room. There should be, you know, a conference room with, you know, room for 400 people. And there's this famous clip of him like shilling Bitcoin at like a dollar. And there's like two people in the audience. It's like nobody paid attention to this, you know. Now he's, you know, would sell out, you know, 1,000-person stages and all that kind of stuff. But the point is to, you know, pay attention when others aren't, right? Pay attention to these niche sort of revolutions when the mainstream media isn't globbing on. And so right now, the mainstream media is focused on the election. It's focused on, you know, inflation, other things, tariffs. And there's just so much distraction that the main, like CNBC doesn't talk about Bitcoin that often anymore relative to what it used to, or meme coins. And so there's this like sort of latent potential and energy that's kind of brewing beneath the surface. And I think once the election clears, and that sort of is the big event, there's a big certain outcome, the ball breaks in one way or another, and we could kind of get that trajectory of where the market's going based on, you know, the policies that are going to be enacted, then we'll really start to see the big moves. You'll see the lid kind of taken off of Bitcoin, Ethereum, altcoins, meme coins, everything. We're going to have a great Q4. But yeah, I think, you know, if you look back over the course of the, you know, trailing 3-month period, trailing 6-month period, trailing 12-month period, pretty much any period you look back at, meme coins have been some of the best performers. And it's like, you don't want to fight the tape. You don't want to fight the trend. You want to say, okay, well, you know, why was I, you know, opposed to that? Well, I didn't see the value in it. Well, maybe I'm missing it, right? You know, the market is right. The market is never wrong, right? It's typically people's perception and people's bias and interpretation of the market that's wrong. So yeah, I mean, you know, kind of, you know, the next big thing often looks like a toy, right? That's like a famous saying from Mark Andreessen, who, you know, was, you know, found, you know, one of the largest, or is the largest venture capitalist in the world, you know, billionaire. The next big thing often looks like a toy. And right now meme coins look like a toy, and crypto and DeFi, these, you know, building blocks, these, you know, decentralized, you know, banks and lending facilities, these also kind of look and feel like toys right now. They're still in their infancy, but you know, that's where there's a lot of opportunity for massive gains. That's why you see some of these coins go up 100 times, you know, enough to turn $1,000 into $100,000. I've seen this time and time and time and time again. Whether it was through projects that I was, you know, affiliated with or trading, or, you know, through you know, friends and other people that have been, you know, incredibly invested in these markets. And those 100Xs typically come from when somebody was invested during a very depressing time and then ends up selling during a time when they're getting phone calls from mom and dad about, oh my gosh, have you heard about this crypto thing? This is crazy. And friends and cousins at the dinner table saying, well, how do I buy this, right? It's like, that's when you sell. And that's where that sort of value is made. And so it's important to buy before the hype right now. I don't think there's a lot of hype. Last thing I'll say before I turn it back to you guys is, how do I know there's not a lot of hype? Besides some of the things I've already mentioned through the media, Coinbase right now as an application is like basically like going back. It's like it's the main hub for retail crypto traders. Yeah. So you know, when there's a lot of Coinbase downloads on the Apple App Store, and when it's rising in trend on the Apple App Store, you basically know that there's more money coming onto the platform. There's people hooking up bank accounts, adding their credit cards. You just know there's a wall of buying power coming into the crypto retail markets. So the market tends to run. And what we saw in March of 2024, March of this year, you could see right here, Bitcoin hit $71,000 back in March. That was the all-time high, 72. And it was ranked 20th on the App Store. Today, Bitcoin's the same exact price 6 months later, 7 months later, and the app Coinbase has slid down now to 482nd out of the top apps to be downloaded on the Apple App Store. So what does that indicate? That indicates that it's the same price, yet retail is nowhere in sight. And the potential for upside here is incredible, as this gentleman posted on his Twitter. I think it's, you know, it's great insight. It shows that divergence between, you know, not a lot of people really here. So that means that they will, if they're on the sidelines, they are potential buyers. And one of the most, you know, incredible quotes that I've found through markets in markets throughout history, the only through line or the only thing that ties all bull markets together throughout history is an ever expanding universe of new buyers, right? It doesn't matter if you're looking at, you know, the bull market in uranium or the bull market in, you know, gold or the bull market in NVIDIA, the bull market in wheat or cattle, the bull market, wherever crypto, it's an ever expanding universe of new buyers, right? And so that's what we're getting. That's what we're seeing. And that's why this is such an interesting indicator. And what it indicates is that there is a lot of potential for new growth and new buyers. So a lot of good stuff, you know, all around the board. I know that was kind of a smorgasbord of insights, but hey, you guys wanted me to riff. And so that's kind of what you get.
Yeah. And I think a big catalyst that is making Bitcoin do so well here is the Bitcoin ETFs. I mean, they have just been dominating. And again, you know, there's so many different sectors that are doing well, like you said, but Bitcoin especially, seeing as, you know, it's still at that same price point of around 71K, but its app and its app activity on the Apple App Store is just nowhere near where it was back in March. But now if we're looking at what's happening on the Bitcoin ETF front, I want to share a screen share here to show everyone how big these inflows are. And I wish I had data from yesterday when, and maybe TiVo, we can find the data on yesterday.
I think it was 400 and it was like a third biggest day of inflows yesterday, which was
crazy.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
the 29th.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the block, which is what I like to use for a lot of my on-chain data and ETF data, you know, here we can see that the outflows are just almost nowhere in sight. Yeah, we have a few days of a -100 million, you know, -200 million here, but let's look at everything else. I mean, there have been days where Bitcoin has done +275, +555 million, +370 million. +450 million, +470 million, $270 million, $330 million, $317 million, $200 million, $400 million, $480 million, and so on and so forth.
Yesterday was $870 million of net inflows. That is pretty wild. I mean, that's astounding, right? I mean, that's almost $1 billion in one day of net inflows. And what that did was that boosted BlackRock's ETF to have over $30 billion in assets, which has, you know, furthered its record as the fastest growing ETF in history. So Bitcoin Crazy. Is the Trojan horse. It is kind of, you know, the liquidity sort of black hole that has now entered the financial markets, and it's just absorbing everything in its sight. And it's great to see for those who are invested in holders of crypto.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy chart. This is the ETF's third highest day of daily inflows ever. And it came in yesterday. I mean, I have goosebumps just saying that and looking at this chart, but it's a crazy level. I mean, we seriously almost pushed $1 billion in inflows in one day alone, which is just wild. I also saw this other tweet that I'm going to throw on the screen here, just saying, hey, BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF did $3.3 billion. This was yesterday, which is the highest daily volume that we have seen in 6 months.
Yeah, and, so, and that's kind of what you want to see on these breakouts, right? They always say, like, you know, when you're learning technical analysis, you want to see high volume breakouts to have, you know, more confirmation, more conviction that that is, in fact, a directional breakout, that it's not a fake out. And so what we're seeing is, you know, extremely high volume on the breakout above all-time highs. That's a really good sign. It means there's a lot of money that's confirming this. And we even see, like, the narrative of, like, I saw Van Eck, if you guys have it, like, Van Eck went out on CNBC, and, you know, while they don't talk about Bitcoin that often, he brought it out to a $3 million price target. And this is, like, you know, a $100 billion sort of asset manager. They manage ETFs. They're very famous. They've been around for a long time. So they don't make these statements flippantly. They are, you know, fiduciaries in a very real sense to many people. And so what they say matters. $3 million price target was pretty wild to kind of see from an institution, like a buttoned up Wall Street institution. But then, you know, Michael Saylor put out, you know, a $13 or a $14 million price target for Bitcoin. That makes more sense, right? He's kind of a leveraged up, like, all in, for lack of a better word, just, like, really, you know, I think, you know, crazy, right? Like, there's in the best way possible. Like, Elon's crazy, right? I mean, it takes crazy people to change the world. And there's very often, you know, very, you know, fine lines between, like, crazy and genius. And so, you know, in the most endearing, like, you know, word, you know, crazy. Like, I think all, you know, really successful people, you know, the guy who's, you know, Jeff Bezos and Steve Jobs, these are all crazy people. So Saylor is on that level. And he's got a $13 million price target. So, yeah. You know, it just goes to show, I think Cathie Wood had, like, a $1 to $2 million price target. Good stuff. Yeah. Love it.
And it's crazy because this isn't just some guy that has a YouTube channel. I mean, these are people who play major roles.
He's got $8 billion of Bitcoin.
Space.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these are not just, it's not just your average Joe Schmo. It's like, these are super credited people that are saying this, people who have a huge reputation behind them. And they're coming out and they're saying, hey, we think $1 million or a multi-million-dollar Bitcoin is possible in our lifetimes. And, you know, I want to run the clip here, but real quick before we do that, Tebow, I saw that there was $115 million worth of short liquidations yesterday, which is, you know, not the craziest thing that we've seen. But again, the bears are getting wrecked here, just wiped out. And we have a saying over here that we've said quite a bit in the series, which is the trend is your friend. And if you're not long, you're wrong. And as we continue upwards over here, I think that a lot of those people that have been naysayers, I know, you know, Tebow, one of the clips that we like to use over on our socials, especially on X, is that guy from the Joe Rogan podcast saying, you know, Bitcoin's worthless. And then there's our good friend, Peter, I'm forgetting his name. Is it Peter Schiff, who is the gold guy who said, oh, Bitcoin's valueless, it's going to zero, and Warren Buffett. And there's been all these people who've been trying to say, in fact, I saw a Warren Buffett quote saying, if there was an easy way to short Bitcoin, I would take it. And we bantered about this last week, but the bears are getting wrecked here. The people who are taking those short positions, they're fighting a losing battle. And when you see over $115 million worth of shorts get liquidated in a 24-hour window, it's a sign that they are losing. But, you know, going back to Bryce's point here, you know, Van Eck was on CNBC just the other day, and they were talking about this. And there's a couple different things that we want to talk about that came out of this interview. And again, we want to show everyone what those clips looked like. So if you're not watching on YouTube, 100%, go check it out over there. But they give this bold $3 million price prediction. So let's roll the clip.
We have a model that assumes that by 2050, this is very long term, that Bitcoin becomes a reserve asset that's used in global trade and held by global central banks at a very modest 2% weight. And in that model, we arrive at a $3 million price target for Bitcoin. Now, that sounds, you know, extreme, but that's a 16% compound annual growth rate for a couple decades. You know, that's not really that extreme. So into the millions over the medium term is a high conviction call.
Yeah, I mean, he basically goes on there and says, hey, we expect people to hold a modest 2%, nothing crazy. He's not saying that all these asset managers and portfolios are going to have 25% exposure to Bitcoin, 50% exposure.
Yeah.
He's saying, hey, if we take a 2% modest rate of exposure at a 16% annual growth rate, which is pretty normal for Bitcoin. Historically speaking, we've seen a much higher one. So
like
they're saying
40% compounded annual growth rate.
Yeah, exactly.
Historically.
I mean, exactly. And, you know, I think they're right, right? I mean, as this thing grows to become a multi-trillion dollar asset, it's going to slow down a little bit. So I think that, you know, they're doing all the right things. They're super smart. VanEck knows what they're doing. But he goes on to explain in that, and is that 16% is not a crazy number. And 2% portfolio allocation is also a pretty conservative number at the end of the day. So even on more conservative estimates, you know, a multi-million dollar Bitcoin seems really, really possible.
I think he gave like a 2050 sort of. Was that, did I hear that right? 2050?
Yeah, yeah, it was so out there.
All right.
We could hit that well before then.
Yeah. 2050. I don't even know who's going to be around.
Yeah. And I think the biggest takeaway that I got from that interview, obviously, it's a shocking, you know, price target, but with a long outlook of time. But I think that, you know, we've gotten caught up on this show, obviously, in the political rhetoric of what's going on in the United States and wanting more regulatory of what are we going to do in America with crypto, with Bitcoin. And something that I sent to you guys the other day was a second part of this interview where, you know, it's not just the United States. Like there's other countries that are taking initiative to, you know, try to make sure that, you know, they're not left behind. And mm-hmm. So I think another thing that we've talked about kind of on the worldly stage is this new, PAC BRICS. So BRICS is kind of a rival of like the G7 of all, you know, the big nations. And so this BRICS currency just keeps growing and growing. And obviously, you know, not to get political with it, but Russia's in there and the Saudis are in there. And there's a lot of, you know, big money, big name players that are in there. And then
Iran's in there.
What's that?
Iran is in there.
Yeah, it's again.
China is in there, you know,
it's pretty sticky pretty quickly. It does, and they keep growing, and they just had a big meeting last week, and a lot of stuff was on the docket, I'm sure, they met about, but one of them was Bitcoin. And so the second part of the VanEck interview was kind of discussing how, the BRICS is taking Bitcoin seriously while we're over here in the United States, and I think we can all agree that, you know, the next president will and the regime of that will be more friendly to crypto. While we think maybe one might be more friendly than the other, it's only going to be getting better. I know I've seen, you know, Matt Hogan say that, and a lot of people have agreed with that. But, you know, we got to get our ducks in a row because we don't want to get left behind. So I'm going to play this clip here, and then we can discuss kind of VanEck's take on BRICS getting ready to utilize
Bitcoin. And real
quick
before you play that tape, I read that BRICS, you know, it's growing so quickly, and they have a GDP now that's larger than the G7, the G7, you know, being, you know, America and a lot of its allies. And so the fact that they're all teaming up, it's just a very stark contrast. And they've got, you know, a lot of, you know, they kind of do control a lot of the means of production, and they control a lot of the resources, right? A lot of the raw earth sort of commodities like oil or the rare earth materials or metals and all that stuff. A lot of that is really found over in the BRICS side of the world. But, you know, one of the things that Donald Trump says is that we have a lot of oil, you know, underneath America. We're sitting on liquid gold. And so by basically, you know, mining our gold or fracking our gold or mining our oil and bringing our oil up, that will help deleverage the adversarial nations. And so drill, baby, drill. Anyhow, play the.
Yeah, it's
some
a
people
non,
call that
look,
fairy
it's
dust,
a non-U.S. asset. It's an emerging markets asset. And while we were all hyperventilating about the election over the last week, BRICS had a conference in Russia. There's six new members of BRICS this year. So BRICS GDP is now greater than the combined GDP of G7. Of the six new members, three of them, Argentina, the UAE, and Ethiopia, are now mining Bitcoin with government resources. So there is tremendous urgency outside of the U.S. to find a way to circumvent the irresponsible fiscal policy that we've been running here in the U.S. In fact, Russia announced an initiative there. Sovereign Wealth Fund is going to invest in a regional initiative to build Bitcoin mining and AI infrastructure throughout BRICS with an idea of settling global trade in Bitcoin. So look, someday, I don't know if it's 5 years, 10 years, Putin's going to die. We're going to look to reintegrate some of these countries into the world financial system, and they're going to be trading with Bitcoin. What are we going to be doing?
Yeah, bold statements, right? I mean, he's not speculating on anything. He's just kind of reporting the facts. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it just shows that this is a competitive space. And now you have the game theory of nation states starting to fight over the last sort of few million Bitcoin. I mean, this is when you start to see the reality of what happens when Bitcoin goes 100K, 200K, 300K. It's not because, you know, mom and pop are putting in $20 on their Robinhood. It's because nations are saying, we need to settle in a globally accepted currency. We need to, trust people that we can't naturally trust with counterparties and all that kind of stuff. So we need a new form of basically, global settlement, especially when you have, potential sovereign bond crises all around the world that you can't trust that as collateral. So the whole game theory of crypto is, Satoshi's up there looking down at us very happily. Like his whole plan has really worked out because you have nation states fighting over this. And you even see, these countries, many countries now have nation state level mining operations. They're bringing, El Salvador off the top of my head, I know, Bhutan off the top of my head, I know, maybe Russia and a few others or whatever. But I mean, they're this is not slowing down. So buy now or cry later.
The one thing that blows my mind is I have a lot of great family and friends, we all do, of all ages, and some are interested in learning about this stuff, and obviously we literally live and breathe it every day, but there's still some of, probably more the older generation where, like, they bring it up, they might ask a question, they're like, that's just, I'd never touch it, or, it's just a big Ponzi, or it's a joke, and, like, it's those people that I just want to send them clips like that, or I do bring it up, and they just... they're set in their ways and all that, but like, I don't know how you can't listen to that clip and not be totally intrigued about wanting to learn more or get involved, at least in educating yourself more, when we're talking about, nation states around the world, devoting resources into acquiring, this product of Bitcoin.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the rhetoric of Donald, Trump, who said he's going to have a Bitcoin strategic reserve for the nation. That's very reminiscent of the strategic petroleum reserve that we have for oil. It's like, it's a crucial commodity. Obviously he's very forward looking and started the Space Force. And he says that's where the next big battles are going to be occurring and who controls space and all that stuff. And so it's forward looking that, who's going to control the cryptographically sound, money, right? The money that's based not on anything, other than math. Right. And it's like, hey, that's a pretty important commodity to have at least some levers on.
And I mean, we've seen adoption just continue. I mean, we've talked about it inside the United States, outside the United States. Like, we've been talking about it happening all over the world here. And another way that this is happening is that there's kind of a proposal. Microsoft is now looking to adopt a MicroStrategy-like approach to buying Bitcoin. And this is something that's going to be getting voted on in December. Now, being fully transparent here, the executives, the guys voting on this, they don't seem too fond of it at the moment. We will see. I know Michael Saylor and some other players are trying to convince them of, hey, this could be a good idea. Look what it has done to MicroStrategy, making them, I believe, the highest return rate stock or publicly traded company here in the States on the year. I mean, their growth has been insane. And now Microsoft is at least having the conversation about something like this, something that they would have never done 5 years ago, 4 years ago, at any point in the past, but at least they're opening up the conversation. So even if this doesn't get adopted, Microsoft is looking into, you know, adopting it and potentially bringing Bitcoin onto their balance sheets. And I think the conversation of that even happening is a step in the right direction of adoption. And
yeah,
I don't know.
The fact like the conversation's even happening is huge.
Yeah.
And the fact it's on the ballot sheet and voters at home, you know, these
yes.
are going after, you know, ballots that are going after shareholders of Microsoft, which of there's millions all around America. And they're going off, you know, voting for their annual sort of stuff. And they see Bitcoin like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that just triggers something in their minds. The fact it's even in the discussion
agreed.
Here is good because other companies are going to have the same playbook.
Agreed. And, you know, I don't know if you guys saw this. But, you know, MicroStrategy, speaking of them, they now have these 2X ETFs. I think there's two of them. There's MSTX, I think, and then MSTU.
Yeah.
And now there's two of them circulating around that are 2X MicroStrategy ETFs. And the reason why this is a big deal is because, historically speaking, MicroStrategy is about like a 2X volatility multiplier of Bitcoin, and now we have this 2x volatility multiplier of MicroStrategy, which is almost like a 4x Bitcoin exposure. And I saw Eric Balchunas talking about this on Twitter the other day. He's a great ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, someone who we've talked to personally multiple times. And it just goes to show, you know, the markets are heating up and people want more exposure. You know, whether, and I've also seen like versions of Bitcoin ETFs, like 2X Bitcoin ETFs, like BitX, for example. Bryce, I know we were talking about that the other day. And now soon, you know, hopefully there's going to be options for the traditional Bitcoin ETFs as well. So people want more exposure to this. There is so much interest out there. And so, again, not financial advice. If that's something that you're interested in, you know, looking at some of these potential avenues, then hey, they're out there. I think you got to be careful, right? You might hear me chuckling a little bit, and that's just because of how crazy the market is getting. And yeah, I don't know. I want to open it up, boys.
Whenever price starts going higher, that's when Brendan always starts talking about leverage.
Yeah,
that's when there might be a good setup coming because Brendan starts throwing you leverage. Oh, you in this? You see this leverage? It's
like, you see that? Yeah, you know, I'm not saying that there are already options contracts on these levered ETFs from someone in this group right now, but there might be.
Yeah. Well, when we interviewed yesterday, we had the head of trading on the podcast. That episode will come out maybe in a week or two. Jason Urban, he's the head of trading at Galaxy, which is like one of the largest, if not maybe the largest trading desk in the world for crypto. They're basically like a crypto investment bank, and they've got many different, what do they call it? Pokers in the fire. They've got lots of different business lines and stuff. But he even said that. I asked him, like, what's the most important thing to you that, you know, determines your profitability and all that kind of stuff? And he said, like, controlled use of leverage. He's like, you know, leverage is obviously like a double-sided sword and it could be scary, but if you could really control it and if you could really have a good grasp on it and structure it where you eliminate your risk in a sense with stop losses and, you know, different kinds of option strategies, you could be very, 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 very profitable, but, can quickly go sideways. So anyhow, not financial advice, of course, use your own research. And crypto investing is already very risky. And so if you think about like trying to use leverage on stuff that is already 100 to 200% annualized volatility, then I think you should just go to Vegas.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, one of the last things that we want to talk about here that could contribute to some of this volatility is just all the election stuff that is coming around the corner here, because this is going to act as a catalyst, you know, regardless of kind of who gets elected. You know, there's going to be the potential here for crypto to do some really, really crazy things. And, you know, the big thing that I'm looking forward to is that Gary Gensler, it looks like regardless of who gets elected, it looks like Gary's going to be moving on. And he's been one of the biggest kind of like what do you call it, like speed bumps? I think speed bumps is an understatement.
He's been one of the antagonistic character, I would say, in the crypto world. He's not been friendly.
He's been an iron wall of regulation going after crypto companies and suing projects and exchanges and you name it. If you're in this space, we've talked about this, we've ranted about this for weeks now, but you know, DRW, Coinbase, Robinhood, Kraken, XRP.
Going after all the good guys, technically.
Like, yeah, all the good guys who want to do this the right way, and they're going after them. And so with that wall being removed and hopefully much more clear regulation coming in, that should do wonders for the crypto space.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that people are starting to price in here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think you kind of summed that up perfectly. And I know I kind of touched on it as well during my riff earlier. But yeah, the election is about as important as it can possibly be.
I agree.
You know, particularly for the crypto markets and stuff. So, and it does seem like there is a little bit more certainty, although it's 60-40 is still, I mean, not certain by any means. I did see on Polymarket, Trump's odds today were 67.5% to win. So he's basically got 2-to-1 odds of winning, which is pretty crazy. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that'll be probably pretty good for crypto. If Kamala wins, then it'll be still good for crypto, but less good maybe.
Yeah. You know, I think that we're starting to see those odds shift a little bit because people are getting hit where it hurts, and that's their wallet. You know, a lot of people have invested in the overall infrastructure of the crypto space, whether that is direct exposure to Bitcoin or to crypto-centric companies in the stock market or to altcoins, or they've built their own projects and businesses, and it's been affected, and they've been negatively impacted. And, you know, I think that's why we're starting to see some of this stuff happen. So again, you know, we'll see. By the time we make this next week, we should have an answer, and we'll have a much more clear direction of where we're going here. But, you know, it's an exciting time regardless, and we love to see the crypto markets moving up and to the right. And we are thinking that this can certainly continue going into the future. So again, watch out for a little bit of speed bumps as we go into the actual election itself, as it's right around the corner. We can certainly get some volatility to both the up and the downside, but what comes out of this, we're looking at to be a bright, bright future for all of crypto. So gentlemen, did I miss anything? Do we need to go over any other points?
Brendan, you never miss anything. Come on. No, I thought that was awesome. I definitely appreciate you guys having me on. Always a great time, and happy to come back whenever. And yeah, you guys keep up all the good work, and I'm sure we'll be in for a lot of excitement here. Maybe I'll come back even on next week for the results of the election. We'll see if what we just forecasted actually turned out right. I will be in New York next week, actually. The TIE is having a big conference that they call the Bridge, and so there's going to be like 250 or 300, you know, different institutional allocators, hedge funds, pensions, all that kind of stuff. I'll be popping in and doing some networking. So
that'll be interesting to have that the day after the election. You're gonna have a lot of big money and a lot of big brains in one room the day after the election. And,
it's gonna be very
interesting,
very, very interesting conversations. I think I'm really looking forward to it. I'm gonna have like 100 cups of coffee, but. Yeah. Anyhow, if anybody of our listeners are in New York or going to that conference, try and reach out. Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
Well, hey, everyone. We appreciate all of you tuning in here. If you like the content that we make, if you like all this information coming at you for free, we only ask a couple of things. Number one, hit that like and subscribe button. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, leave us a review. We really do look at all of them and read through all of them. In fact, sometimes we even read off a couple of the good ones or the funny ones. Sometimes some of the more antagonistic ones we even like to read off over here because we see all of them. And we really do enjoy it. So hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave us a review. And if you really like the content that we make, then check out some of our other resources. You know, we got great communities over here like Crypt Nation. And of course, we have the Crypto 101 podcast on YouTube as well, where you can go view all sorts of tutorials and market updates and all sorts of other great things. So if you want to really stay up to date on everything that's happening, we have the resources for you to do it. But thank you all for watching. And until next time, we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
The holidays are just around the corner, so now's the time to shop new deals at Lowe's. Make your home even merrier with up to 50% off select holiday decor clearance. Plus, don't miss our limited time weekly deal drops on items like appliances, tools, grills, and more. There's something for everyone on your list. Count on Lowe's to help you save all season long, because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 12/12 through 12/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.